That's why the murders and killing sprees are happening. That's the spirit. That's the spirit of the world. Doing what you want to do. It's your thing. You want to do what you want to do. You don't want to acknowledge God. You don't want to love God. You don't want to even know about God. You turn away from God. That's the spirit of the world. And that's found in 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 12. You know, we know from the writings of Paul that there's a natural man and there's a spiritual man. That's why I keep reiterating this, because if you don't know, somebody's got to tell you. So Paul is telling us that there is a natural man, and I showed you scripture, and there is a spiritual man.
All right, family. You have been listening to the Spiritual Warfare broadcast with Evangelist Wanda Bell. You can connect with us on Facebook at Evangelist Wanda Bell, or you can write us at Evangelist Wanda Bell or Spiritual Warfare Ministries at P.O. Box 5884, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71307. Tune in every Tuesday and Thursday, same time, here on KAYT 88.1, as we go deeper in the Word of God. This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is gospel radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT. Praising the Lord.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel. This is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised Word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
Turn your Bibles to John chapter 15. The Gospel of John, chapter 15, and verses 1, 2, and 3. John 15, verses 1, 2, and 3. When you have it, say amen.
Amen.
Begin reading now.
I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye have the word which I have spoken unto you.
Amen. God bless you. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Jesus said, I am the true vine. And my Father is the husbandman. I want to begin here by looking at a deeper look into what Jesus was saying. You must recognize he's getting ready to leave the disciples. He's getting ready to go to Calvary. He's getting ready to fulfill his mission. For some 3.5 years now, he has fulfilled his ministry. But now he's about to fulfill his mission to die on the cross to pay for the sins of all mankind. Those who would accept him and receive him as their Savior and as their Lord through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, he was going to pay the ultimate price that none other could pay. And so he's comforting the disciples and he's ministering to them. He's transferring, if it were, his trend of thought into their thinking so that when he departs, they can continue thinking like him, acting like him, and doing like him. And it's so important for us to recognize that they understand who he really is. He starts off by saying, I am. Now remember, he is the I am of the New Testament as his father was the I am of the Old Testament. Seven times in the book of John does he say, I am. John 6:35, he says, I am the bread of life. John 8:12, he says, I am the light of the world. John 10:9, he says, I am the door of the sheep. John 10:11, I am the good shepherd. John 11:25, I am the resurrection and the life. John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And then here this seventh time, John 15:1, I am the true vine. The true vine. The true vine as opposed to the false vine. The true vine as opposed to and associating the authentic over and against the artificial. The true vine over and against the real vine as opposed to the faux or the fake vine. The true vine as the original and not some pretense or some counterfeit vine. What he was truly saying was that I am the vine that my father planted. I am the original vine out of which everyone that's connected with me will have the ability to grow and to produce fruit. Now, in Israel, the vines were very plenteous. Everywhere you look, there were vines, grape vines and berry vines, etc. So this analogy was a very easy one for all men to understand. In Israel's history, even at the temple, there was a golden vine in front of the temple which says, Jesus Christ, the true vine, and the nation of Israel, all of its people, were the branches connected to that vine. So now you need to recognize that it was a symbol that they all could identify with. But notice what he says. I am the true vine and my father. Notice he doesn't say our father here, as he said in the sixth chapter of Matthew's. Notice he says my father. This was a direct connection with him giving credence to the fact that he was the only begotten of the Father. When he said, my Father, he's speaking as the Son of Almighty God. Now notice he says, and my Father is the husbandman. Now, this word husbandman is an interesting word. There are three schools of thought connected with this word husbandman. The first one is farmer, farmer. The second one is tiller of the ground, tiller of the ground. The third one is vine dresser, vine dresser. So when he says, my father is the husbandman, in the Eastern culture, persons who heard that word automatically knew what was associated with this man called the husbandman. Now keep in mind, the husbandman played a major role in the agricultural phenomenon, because he was the one who made sure that the vine was healthy and productive. Let me tell you a little bit about the husbandman, since we don't use that word in the Western Hemisphere like they did in the Eastern. First of all, the husbandman had to know at least five things. One, he had to know why he sowed, the principles of sowing and reaping. Two, he needed to know what he was sowing for the proper return. Three, he needed to know where he was sowing as it related to the soils. Fourth, he needed to know when to sow as it related to the seasons. And five, he needed to know how much success would come as a result of the amount that he sowed. So let me share with you again in another way. He had to know that he had to, one, be a sower. Two, he had to know about seeds. Three, he had to know about soils. Notice I said soils with an S, because all soil is not the same. Matthew 13 gives us four illustrations of different soils. One, when the sower went out to sow seed, fell on the wayside. Birds came, ate it up, and the plant didn't grow. Two, the sower sowed seeds, and it fell on stony ground. And it didn't have much earth to it, so in the heat of the day, the sun scorched it, and so it withered and died. Three, the sower sowed, and it fell on thorny ground. And it rose up and choked the plant. And so again, it withers and dies. But then the word says, some fell on good ground, and it produced 160 and 30-fold because it fell on good ground. May I suggest to you that nothing was wrong with the sower. Every ground that he sowed into, he sowed with the passion and the purpose of reaching a harvest. But here's what you've got to understand. You don't always have the privilege of selecting your soil. Sometimes you got to work with what you got. And so every time he sowed based on what he had to work with. Now, I hope you're listening to me, because every now and then we're given a hand that we don't particularly like. But we're going to have to learn how to work with the hand we're dealt with. You see, as a sower, your job is to sow. You're not responsible for how it grows. Your job is responsible for sowing. And so here the sower helps us to understand. He kept on sowing. through that which fell by the wayside. He kept on sowing with that fell on stony ground. He kept on sowing with that fell on thorny ground. He kept on sowing till he fell some on good ground. And it produced 160 and 30 fold. What am I trying to tell you? If you are a sower, keep on sowing.
Come on, stop.
Here's what's conspicuously obvious about Matthew chapter 13 and the seed and the sower. It was this, that 3/4 of the time he sowed, it produced nothing. But guess what he didn't do? He didn't quit. He didn't give up. He kept on sowing. Because again, the soil may be difficult. And so again, not only did he deal with the various soils, but a good farmer knows how to deal with the seasons. Because any good farmer knows that you must sow in the proper season to get the proper return. You just can't go out there all willy-nilly and throw some seeds in the ground and say, well, in Jesus' name, rise.
Yes, yes.
No, that there are principles by which you must function as it relates to sowing and reaping. So he had to be sensitive to the seasons. And then fifthly, he had to know what to expect in terms of the success of his crop. If he didn't know those five things, he was not a husbandman. The second thing I need to tell you, not only was there a farmer in the definition of this word husbandman, but there was the ground tiller or the tiller of the ground. Now what that meant was he had to take the ground and break it up. He had to take the ground and work it. He had to take the ground and turn it over to make it tender enough to receive the seed. And so sometimes you got to be sensitive enough to know that you just can't go throw seed on the ground and expect it to grow. You got to massage the ground.
All right, then, doctor.
You have got to work the ground. You've got to till the ground. And usually they dug between 8 and 10 inches into the ground, turning over the soil, cultivating that soil, making it ready to receive the seed. The husbandman was a ground tiller. But then thirdly, he was a vine dresser.
All right, all right, all right.
Now, this position is very interesting because as a vine dresser, not only did he plant the vine, not only did he care for the vine, but he maintained the vine, its healthiness for its quality, for its quantity, and for the quota that he was sowing for. He would take a vine and rub the vine through his hands and feel the texture of the vine to feel whether or not the vine was healthy.
Yes, yes.
And then he would look over the vine, making sure that there were no places on the vine where the branches were either diseased, deteriorating, or dying. And if these things occurred in the vine dresser would cut them off. That's why verse 2 says, Jesus said, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away.
Lord have mercy.
He who? The husbandman, the vine dresser, he taketh away. Why does he take it away? Because it is his job to make sure that the vine has every respect of growing its best by removing any and everything that hinders it from producing all that it could and should produce. So the vine dresser looks at the vine, looks at the branches, and when he sees a branch that is not producing fruit, he cut it off. So here's what I want you to know. The vine dresser does an examination. Somebody say examination. There are three examinations that the vine dresser does on the vine. One is an examination with a view toward extraction. A view toward extraction. In other words, when the husbandman, the vine dresser, looks at that vine and runs it through his hand, feels it, looks at it. He senses again while he sees either fruitfulness or fruitlessness, and he judges it accordingly. One thing about the vine dresser is this, that he knows the vine so well that he knows if that branch is not producing, that there is no way it's going to live after it dies. So if it's dead, why leave it on the vine? So he cuts off what is not producing for the purpose of allowing the life-giving sap that runs through the vine and to every branch to give every branch the sustenance that it needs to be able to produce the fruit on every branch, so much so that it does not have the time nor the inkling to give good sap to that's dead.
Lord have mercy.
So he cuts it off so the sap can go to other producing branches to help them to produce healthier, fuller, riper fruit on the branches. Secondly, the Bible says every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it. Purgeth it.
Yeah.
Now, what's interesting about this word purgeth means the vine dresser examines the branch for the purpose of elimination. Elimination. Yeah. He doesn't cut it all off like he did for the branch that was diseased, deteriorating, or dying. But what he does is, with an eye of examination, he looks at that branch and sees where the problem is, and he cuts up just a little bit above the problem. Thus saving the branch, but cutting off the part that's bad. That's called pruning.
Yes, yes.
Pruning. It's pruning it because it's cutting back all the stuff that does not help the branch grow its fruit. My brothers and sisters, God does that with his people, especially those who are producing, but things get in the way.
All right, sir.
And hinder us from growing the way God wants us to. And every now and then, you will discover that God will cut some stuff off of your life. He knew you wouldn't get rid of it. You would let it die on the branch. But here is the problem with it dying on the branch. It begins to disease the whole branch.
Yeah.
And so if you don't cut off the part that's bad, it begins to kill the part that's good. So the vine dresser cuts off the bad part, and God does the same thing with us. There are things he knows we won't give up, so he's got to take it from us. He's got to cut it away from us. He knows we want to hold on to it because we can't see what it's doing to us. But God does see. And so he begins to operate in his role as vine dresser. And when he cuts it off, he doesn't just cut it off, but he mends up the end. So the sap don't just drip out on the ground, so that it is bandaged up so that the sap can go back and refortify the good that it's growing.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
I wish I had a witness here.
I hear you, Doc. I hear you.
But there is a third part to his examination. The verse says again, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Now the word taketh away is interesting because again, it has a couple meanings to it. One, take away in some translations means to lift up off the ground as to give it light and to allow it to get air, etc., to breathe, etc., so that it can grow. But another word talks about taketh away means to clean. Now notice here, when he taketh away, he's cleaning it up, cleaning off all of the parts of the branch that are in excess of the wood and the fibers that stunt the growth of the branch itself.
Yeah.
There is sometime overgrowth on branches that hinder the branch from growing. And so the vine dresser cuts away, cleans up the branch so it can breathe and function. This word, take away, again, take it away, is the same word that Jesus talks about in this third verse, and I'll get to that in just a moment. But the third examination is with a view toward expectation of extraordinary and exponential growth. Extraordinary and exponential growth. Here's what the Lord is saying. He's saying that I'm going to make sure that the vine is healthy so that it can give you all the nourishment you need as a branch to produce the best fruit that you can. But if there's anything hindering you from producing your best, you can best know I'm going to cut it off. Because your purpose is to produce fruit. To produce fruit. You're only on the vine to produce fruit. And my job is to make sure that you do your job. But now, if you don't want to do your job, then I'll cut you away from the vine.
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope for tomorrow. Dr. Montgomery would like to know you are being blessed by this program. Our email address is info at greaterkingdavid.org. That's info@greaterkingdavid.org. Our mailing address is The Movement of Christ Broadcast, 911 Lobdell Boulevard. That's Lobdell Boulevard, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70806. Visit our website at greaterkingdavid.org, or you may call our office at 225-927-0577. That's 225-927-0577.